Welcome to this podcast from Vitae. This edition is called The Creative Researcher and is based on our booklet written by Dr. Kevin Byron. In it, we try to define the nature of creativity, which is an essential first step in nurturing it, and to introduce some tools and techniques that can be applied in helping to develop a more creative approach to your research. The pioneering rocket scientist Wernher von Braun once said,
"Research is what I'm doing when I don't know what I'm doing."
Anyone grappling with the early stages of a research project will be able to relate to that. Creativity isn't something that can be taught directly, and the outcomes of creative thinking are not predictable. Everyone can be and is creative. We'll see later that it's creativity that actually fuels progress in research. Although creativity can't be taught directly, it can be absorbed and...
the skills for accessing it acquired by osmosis, through immersion in creative activity with other people.
It can also be nurtured through experiential training, the application of new tools and techniques, and the practice of attitudes conducive to the creative behaviour.
Creativity versus innovation.
The terms creativity and innovation are often used interchangeably, but we need to be more precise in defining their meaning.
Innovation.
This refers to the management of ideas and making original, creative ideas a reality. In the context of research, innovation refers to putting into action any idea that the researcher has.
Creativity.
Creative ideas initiate the innovation process, but new insights, which refine the original idea, occur throughout the process. Creative ideas will only be valued if they are seen through to innovation. A thesis or published journal paper are outcomes of innovation processes that started with original, creative contributions by researchers. Look back through history. Thomas Edison was an innovator, and history tends only to remember innovators. Edison did not invent the light bulb, but he was its innovator. More than 20 people invented it before him, but he refined it so that it became a practical device and brought it into commercial use.
The nature of creativity.
During this section, we'll use a common questioning tool to look at the nature of creativity in a bit more detail, defining what is meant by creativity, what kind of people are creative and why, where and when it can be a useful skill to have. Rudyard Kipling expressed this idea in verse.
I knew six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. I call them what and where and when and how and why and who.
Using these five W's and one H, we'll explore creativity in more detail now.
What is creativity?
Creativity in the context of research can be defined in this podcast as...
ideas that are original and useful.
A doctoral thesis or academic paper should contain original work by the authors and clearly describe the relevance and usefulness of the contribution in a wider perspective. It is important, especially at the beginning of a research project, to reflect on the impact and relevance of the research, no matter how indirect or distant in time this might be. Originality can be further defined as a new combination or connection between ideas. Many original ideas arise when two existing ideas are combined. As well as the actual subject of research, original contributions may appear in the form of new tools and procedures. These contributions can often be taken for granted, but are an important part of the original contribution of research. It is important to differentiate between personal creativity and truly original creativity. All our words and actions are to some extent unique, and we may consider ourselves to be creative in different aspects of our lives. Original creativity, however, is validated by innovation and can be recognized externally as intellectual property.
Who is creative?
The answer? Everyone. Different people demonstrate creativity in different ways at different times. Clearly, the more you know and the more eclectic your knowledge, the greater the potential for variety in ideas. However, much of the time when doing research, we need to be immersed in the very narrow field of our studies, so there is a balance to be struck in order to incorporate a broader perspective and creative approach to our work. Sometimes research needs to be progressed in a stepwise, adaptive way, and at other times we need to be more creative. We may be predisposed to either one of these approaches, so it's useful to identify where we stand on the adaptive creative scale.
Where do you stand on the adaptive creative scale? The extreme adapter.
The extreme adapter sits at the far left of the scale, progressing with their research one small step at a time through a measured approach, checking each step, scrutinising every outcome and recording everything in detail. They tend to be very organised, focused on the task and hard-working. They go through their daily work in a routine way. They are rather conventional in the way they think, tend not to have big ideas, and are risk-averse. Their work is always likely to progress, but it is unlikely to lead to major breakthroughs. It is not to say that an extreme adapter would not be creative, they just do not habitually access their creative brain.
The extreme creative.
The extreme creative sits at the far right of the scale and tends to constantly challenge assumptions and try new approaches to push their research in different directions. But they are not so good at recording the outcomes of their forays into the unknown unless they obtain a good result. They are quite disorganised, do not like to conform, dislike routine, love to take risks but are poor time managers. They do occasionally have great ideas that can accelerate the progress of their research, assuming they do something about making it happen.
Take a moment to think about where you sit on the adaptive creative scale and which characteristics you exhibit most. Once you've identified where you fit on the adaptive creative scale, you can work on acquiring the skills you're lacking in order to become a more rounded researcher. Why is creativity important?
Research is often viewed as a process of unpunctuated, continuous progression. But if we look at the sigmoid curve of research progress, we can see that there are three stages of growth in research progress before that eureka moment.
Stage 1. Infancy.
This is when a new field of research opens up, otherwise known as basic or blue skies research. Progress is slow because ideas are speculative. There will be little evidence supporting theories, and few people will be working on it. Funding bodies may not be convinced that the research could lead to something useful.
Stage 2. Rapid development.
This is where the new ideas have started to gain acceptance, results have been verified, and progress accelerates. Funding is easier to obtain because the chances of success are seen as much higher.
Stage 3. Maturity.
At this final stage, new anomalies or gaps in knowledge appear that can't be explained by the existing model or theory. This launches a new trajectory of basic research that aims to accommodate these anomalies.
So when looking at the importance of creativity, we can see that it's the driving force of progress. When is creativity required?
Depending on what stage of the research you are at, you can ask yourself different types of questions. Some questions require critical appraisal, others are speculative and open-ended, requiring a more creative approach. You will be faced with questions at all of these different stages of research.
Observing, defining the problem, forming the question, investigating the known, articulating the expectation, carrying out the study, interpreting the results, reflecting on the findings and communicating the findings to the scientific community and society.
If we think of all these stages as being around a wheel with questions in the centre, we can see that the practice of research is not a linear process. It may be necessary to jump across the wheel at times to reappraise assumptions and hypotheses or redesign the research methods. Questions are at the hub of this wheel, and progress can be helped or hindered by the way the questions are framed and the use of convergent or divergent thinking. Divergent thinking is associated with determining goals, exploring possibilities, and generating ideas. In other words, any questions that go beyond the remit of a statement about a problem or challenge. Convergent thinking concerns decision-making, analysing options, and planning actions. It's important to separate these two approaches when practicing the techniques of creativity. At the start of a research project, we can ask ourselves an open-ended question which we can contextualise using the 5 W's and 1 H technique.
What?
What does the research aim to achieve? What does success look like?
Who?
Who does the research affect? Who are the stakeholders?
Where?
Where is the research taking place?
When?
When will the research be carried out? When will there be benefits?
Why?
Why is the research important?
How?
How will the research be conducted? The why question has special significance in helping to abstract a research question and make it more accessible to creative possibilities. For example, rather than asking,
how could researchers improve their presentation skills?
You could ask,
why should researchers improve their presentation skills?
The answer to this question would be,
in order to become better communicators of their research.
From there, you could reframe the question to this.
How could researchers become better communicators?
This now looks like a richer research question that gets closer to the heart of the issue.
Why not try writing down your challenge in the form of a question? Now ask why to the question and write down the answer. Then try reframing the question and brainstorm the new associations that come to mind with this question. Then try selecting an idea or combination of ideas from the list, using originality and practicality as criteria, and plan the next stage of your research where this new idea can be applied. You can repeat the process if you want to delve further into the problem. Section 4. Nurturing creativity.
In this section, we will focus on nurturing creative behaviours to make the most of creative time. In 1926, Graham Wallace identified the four main stages of creative thinking. 1.
Preparation, assessment and clarification of a challenge that requires creativity.
2.
Incubation, a period of unconscious activity facilitated by conscious disengagement. This can take many days.
3.
Insight, the eureka moment, where a breakthrough idea emerges into conscious awareness. This sometimes occurs by virtue of stage 2, away from the place where the challenge was identified. It may even occur in a dream.
4.
Elaboration, the commencement of innovation where the original idea is refined, shaped, communicated, and put into practice.
Each of these stages take different amounts of time, but it's the transition between stages 2 and 3 that is worth focusing on. That elusive eureka moment can sometimes come as a result of a brief incubation period or even as the result of a dream. The most recorded song in history, Yesterday, came to Sir Paul McCartney spontaneously after waking up one morning. In this section, we'll examine the behaviours which are conducive to achieving that elusive eureka moment.
Risk-taking.
One of the characteristics of highly creative people is their ability to take risks. This means dispensing with the security and comfort of existing habits of thought and developing a challenging mindset, plus dealing with criticism from others. We can also observe risk-taking in others. By doing so, we learn how to adapt our working style and take risks of our own.
Tolerance to ambiguity.
Ambiguity relates to unresolved issues or problems and grey areas.
Taking an adaptive approach to find an early resolution tends not to lead to new ideas and is often only a temporary fix.
Taking the more creative approach and developing a tolerance to ambiguity allows the problem to remain unresolved for longer. The idea stays in Wallace's incubation period.
Trust in intuition.
Intuition can be defined as a form of knowledge or experience unaccompanied by conscious reasoned thinking. Conscious thought uses rationality as a guide and deals with tasks in a linear, sequential way.
Intuition works by association and by rules of thumb that are shortcuts through repeated association. Intuition is developed by experience, but it's not infallible, and shortcuts applied inappropriately can lead to misperceptions.
In research, many new ideas appear to be counterintuitive until new knowledge is acquired. Therefore, we need to check out our assumptions and suspend judgment until other options have been explored. To make the most of our creative skills, we need to learn to understand, hone and trust our intuition.
Visualization.
Doing research involves a great deal of reading and writing. By practicing visualization techniques, we can form mental pictures of the concepts under study and improve our creative thought processes.
One way of developing visual literacy is to study images and try to interpret them to unlock the creative thinking by artists and designers. Studying images can also help identify analogies that help clarify aspects of research.
On a personal level, creating your own images also improves visual literacy skills. Drawing and painting can be a relaxing distraction to aid problem-solving and stimulate the imagination.
Work-life balance.
To keep up with our busy day-to-day living and to stay on top of things, maintaining a good work-life balance is crucial. It is important to keep stress levels and general health in check. Our creative performance is affected by our emotional arousal when we are fully relaxed and asleep compared to a highly stressed state. If you imagine a creativity thermometer with boredom at the bottom and burnt out at the top, you should aim to be in the middle to facilitate your creative performance.
When excessive demands are placed on us, this inhibits our creative ability. A lack of motivation has a similar effect. One way of relieving emotional anxiety or boredom is to have a break. Take some exercise.
Meditate. Socialise.
Or do something different. Section 5. A framework for creative problem solving.
This section will provide you with a framework for a more systematic approach to applying creativity tools as well as other ways of generating ideas. We'll also look at the creative framework for problem solving known as ENTREE. The ENTREE framework for creative problem solving. It consists of three stages.
Inquire, transform, realise.
Each stage has two steps. Divergent followed by convergent thinking. In the divergent phase, options or ideas are generated, and in the convergent phase, the ideas are analysed and decisions are made about which one to proceed with. Remember, always diverge first.
Suspend judgment, include the obvious, go for quantity, avoid editing.
After that, you can move on to convergent thinking.
Cluster similar statements or ideas, refine and combine statements or ideas. Be decisive.
We'll now look closer at each stage of the ENTREE framework for creative problem solving.
Inquire.
One potential danger of conventional brainstorming in teams is to assume that everyone has a common understanding of the challenge when they don't. This stage of identifying and clarifying the challenge is the inquiry stage of the ENTREE framework. When you apply divergent thinking at the inquiry phase, you will end up with a list of variations on the original challenge statement. To converge to a single statement, some criteria need to be identified to compare these variations. You could use the following three questions to help in the decision-making process.
Is this challenge important enough? Do we have sufficient influence to implement the ideas that might emerge? Does this challenge need new ideas to solve it?
When the challenge has been clearly defined, then brainstorming can happen at the transformation stage.
Transform.
Having selected the challenge, stage two of the framework, transformation, requires you to list ideas by association that might provide solutions to this challenge. Remember to extend the time over which this is done and to take breaks and return to find more associations. Another tip for generating new ideas by association is to apply rules of thumb, prefacing each transformation by asking, "What if?" There are only seven kinds of transformation summarised in a memorable way with the acronym SCAMPER. This stands for...
Substitute, combine, adapt, modify, magnify, minify, multiply. Put to other uses. Eliminate, reverse.
To develop the technique further, you can find associated questions for each of the SCAMPER prompts. For example, for combine, we could ask...
What existing ideas can be combined? What procedures or tasks can be combined? What about combining different methods? What about a mixture or assortment? What materials can be combined?
Again, at the end of the divergent phase, there will be a long list of ideas to be reduced down to the best ideas. You can achieve this in two stages. First, by applying general criteria to each idea in turn in the form of the three questions from earlier.
Is this challenge important enough? Do we have sufficient influence to implement the ideas that might emerge? Does this challenge need new ideas to solve it?
To identify the best idea out of the last few, use specific criteria to compare the ideas and devise a scoring system. For instance, you could allocate scores for cost, practicality, originality and safety.
Realise.
After deciding on the idea, the final stage in this process, realise, concerns how it will be implemented, or the innovation stage. This involves another divergent step to identify resources required, people involved, costs, etc., followed by an action plan. The experienced researcher will be familiar with the work required to achieve this along the lines of conventional project management methods. Let's finish with the top 10 tips for nurturing creativity. 1.
Identify where you are on the adaptive creative scale and acquire the skills to be able to work in both ways when appropriate. Observe and learn from the working styles of others.
2.
When you're looking for new ideas, break habitual patterns. Take a different route to work. Have lunch in a different place.
3.
Make your working environment visually stimulating. Put up some posters and photos and change them regularly.
4.
Take regular short walks and breaks from your research environment. Make sure you use your holiday allocation, but don't be caught off guard. Take a notebook with you to record eureka moments.
5.
Widen your interests. Browse journals or trade magazines that are completely unrelated to your field. Network with other researchers and meet different people. Visit other departments and study the posters or displays describing their research. Are there analogies with your own work?
6.
Practice describing your research to a non-specialist as a metaphorical story. Visualisation can help. Try drawing instead of writing.
7.
Keep notes of all your ideas, especially the crazy ones. Review them regularly and look for connections between them. Record educated guesses about future research and compare them with what actually happens. Pay attention to the instances you get it right, equally with the times that you don't.
8.
Use Scamper and use it to decode creative ideas in your own field of research as well as other fields. Practice playing with ideas. Try combining ideas, objects, processes that appear to be totally unrelated.
9.
Familiarise yourself with the ENTRA framework for solving problems. Practice it when you have a chance.
10.
Remember that brainstorming the nature of a challenge or problem is just as important as brainstorming for new ideas.
Well, that's all we've got time for. If you'd like to read about this topic, it's available in PDF form on the VTI website with several creative thinking exercises you may wish to try. We also have podcasts on other topics and lots of other information specific to researchers, including courses you may wish to attend. We'd also encourage you to have a look at the VTI Researcher Development Framework. The framework has been designed specifically for researchers as an inspirational guide to personal development. You might find it a helpful starting point for identifying your strengths, making an action plan for development, structuring conversations with your line manager or supervisor, or articulating evidence of your transferable skills when looking for employment. Goodbye, and thank you for listening.